Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. Happy New Year to our very first show of 2025. We're looking forward to having you with us this morning. Thank you for joining us. And we have a great show lined up for you. This is a garden show that you call in with your gardening questions, or you can text us. And that number is 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me 23680. I want to give a big shout out to the Foliage Garden Club of Apopka. I had a wonderful time seeing them this week. Good people like Jennifer and Kay and Carol and Charlotte and Christy. Thank you so much for coming out and hearing me talk. I certainly do appreciate it. It's going to be a lovely weekend. Happy New Year, Lizzie.
Happy New Year and Happy New Year to our listeners. I'm so happy to be back. So, yeah, I hate that new year, new me. I absolutely hate that saying. But I'm going to tell you what, there's, a few things that I'm like, you know what? I'm letting a lot of things go, even though I've always been a let go, let God kind of person.
Sure.
But there's a few things that I added to my plate this year that I had no reason adding it to. And I'm just like, you know what? In January, we're going to start just letting go. I don't do resolutions.
There you go. But, excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Well, I saw that you couldn't let Gerald go.
Did you see how big he is?
Oh my God, he's huge.
He is.
Now, do they get any bigger?
Okay, they're only 8 months old.
Oh my goodness. He looks like a 10-year-old turkey if I knew what 10-year-old turkeys look like.
Yes, and it's funny because he's a broad-breasted. Okay. So they're meant, that's their thing, is to get big fast and then eat within while they're young. And so now, I mean, he's not a year old yet, but still.
How many pounds is he?
60.
60 pounds.
And his brothers. Yeah, he's
what
got
do
two
you
brothers.
Think a turkey, if he was all defeathered and boned and everything, what size turkey would he be in the grocery store?
Probably maybe 40 pounds.
Oh my goodness.
I'm just guessing. I've never gone to that part yet.
Yeah.
So, but
yeah.
Then when I look at my 5 month old bourbon reds, and I'm looking at the one Tom that we kept, his name is Zip Tie, and his feet are so thin and pretty. Like, he is like the poster child of the perfect pretty turkey. That's why I wanted bourbon reds to begin with. But to look at his versus Gerald and his brother Jack and Cracker and their big, fat, thick feet. I mean, I'm looking at him going, what's wrong with you? Why y'all fatties? But no, that the bourbon reds aren't bred for that.
The native Florida turkeys look so skinny next to them.
Gosh, so crazy.
When you see them out in the field.
Yes.
Well, this is going to be one for the record books this week. And I'm going to tell you that it gets cold here in Florida. And for those of you who are new to Florida, get ready for it.
But this isn't normal, though.
Well, it's not normal.
Not what we're fixing to get this week.
Right, right. Not what we're 10 degrees below normal. And I'm going to go over it in just a minute. But guess what the coldest temperature in Florida ever recorded was?
I'm not sure. What is it?
In Tallahassee. In 1899, it got down to 2 degrees below zero.
I believe it. I believe it. We've had a few of those.
Because
yes. I remember in 89-ish, we had what I call, not a meteorologist or an expert, but what I call a flash freeze in 89. And we had real snow.
Yes.
And it all of a sudden, it went from, oh, look, flurries. It's, oh my God, it's snow. And then everything iced over immediately.
It did. It stayed on the ground till about 1 o'clock. Yeah.
Wrecks. I was in a parking lot. I worked at a grocery store. I was getting carts. And I just watched. It was like watching a movie going, you see the ice just building up, and I'm going,
I've never seen that.
Crazy. It's crazy.
How was your holidays?
It was very good. I cannot complain. Santa was good to me, but I am married to Santa, a.k.a. Shrek. But yes, very good. How about you?
It was great. We had a wonderful time. Got to see all the children, grandchildren, and all my kids.
Aww.
And all our kids. And it was just wonderful. And we went up to Rhode Island to see Tony's mom and Clint.
Snow?
And It was a little bit of snow there when we arrived. It didn't snow while we were there, which was fine.
Was it White Christmas?
It was. Well, we weren't there for Christmas, but it was a White Christmas up there.
Okay.
And so it was just gorgeous, and we had a great time. So,
good.
But I knew I was coming back to Florida, so the cold temperatures didn't bother me at all.
Mm-hmm.
So the weather forecast this week, okay, if you have not heard, it's going to get cold. And in your gardens, you're going to see damage. Okay, you're going to see damage on your tropical plants everywhere from, you know, North Florida, Central Florida, and South Florida. You're going to get cold temperatures. I don't think it's going to freeze down there, but it should. They said freezing temperatures down through Central Florida and could be as low as Okeechobee.
Okay.
So that means it's going to be really cold here. Now, how long it lasts under 32 is the challenge.
Okay.
And so if we only have a couple of hours below freezing, it's not going to be that bad. But if we are below freezing for one whole day, then we're going to see lots of damage.
All right, good, because I've got some questions, because I know that we have listeners out there that are like me that have a few banana trees that we planted this last year.
Yep.
And I have one that's like 12 foot tall, just about almost 12 foot, and I need help with that suggestion.
Sure.
Here later.
We'll talk about that next. So North Florida, you're going to be below average temperatures, mid to 50s to 60s during the day, lows in the 20s. It's going to freeze Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and next weekend. Rain possibly Monday. You're definitely going to have rain on Tuesday, though. Central Florida, Leesburg, you guys are going to be 60-degree temperatures during the middle of the week, during daytime. Lows in the low 30s, possibly 20s. So we'll get to South Florida in just a minute when we get back. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Let me finish up. I haven't seen you since last year, Lizzie. I want to talk to you. So, South Florida, Miami, you're going to have beautiful weather. It's going to be sunny, no rain, highs in the 60s, lows in the mid-50s. And Key West, you're going to have beautiful, cool weather this week. When you're looking at the weather map, that blue gets drawn all the way down to Miami, down to the Keys. Mm. And so Key West, you're going to be highs in the 60s, lows in the 60s. It's going to be great postcard weather. No rain for you, though. So what does this mean, these cold temperatures? Well, it means that you're going to cover your plants. You're going to need to do that with either a frost blanket. You can use sheets and boxes. You just don't want anything to touch the leaves. So if you use the sheets and the blankets, no plastic at all, and then you can prop it up with sticks so that you trap the warm air around the plant. You have to bring that frost blanket. You have to bring that the sheets and the blankets all the way down to the ground and put rocks on it, put tiles on it, or bricks to seal that hot air in. And so, Lizzie, you had a question, and let me just say, give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text us at 23680.
All right. So I planted some banana trees this last year, and so I have one that's grown so well that's almost 12 foot tall, and then I have a little sprout coming off of that one.
Uh-huh.
And then I have two smaller ones that are maybe about 3 foot and 4 foot tall around it. What am I supposed to do with that one that's almost 12 foot? I have nothing that's going to be able to cover that high.
Well, the good news is that they will not die. Okay, so they may get damaged. But not usually, but bananas fruit on the second year, second winter.
Okay.
Okay, so they're going to survive this frost coming up. They're going to damage the leaves, but just let them keep on going, and then you can cut off the damage later on, like end of January, first part of February, and let it keep growing. The smaller ones, they're going to be fine too, because bananas usually grow in moist soil. So that area has to be really good for you, because I don't think you water it, do you?
Yeah, and the only reason why I do is because from my father-in-law growing banana trees, I know that we have to keep that area.
Yes.
Or we plant, because if you go around Lake Eustis and any of the canals and you see banana trees, it was my father-in-law who went around and planted all of these.
Wow.
So I know that just from that, I'm not that educated on it, but I just know that I have to keep that ground moist.
Yes.
Because they're used to being around the water.
Yes. Okay. So they are high. They do need water. So you want to make sure you water it 2 to 3 days before the freeze. Mm-hmm. Or if we get rainfall, that will be fine. If you don't get rainfall, they need water before. And then after the freeze, 2 to 3 days later, you want to start watering again. So once a week watering, but make sure they stay moist. That's going to protect them. You are going to see damage, but they'll survive. And then next year, they'll have fruit.
Okay. Now, I know that you had mentioned, but okay, say that we have this freeze, okay, this next week, like, and it does some damage. How long do I need to wait? Because we still have February coming, and sometimes we get freezes in February. Do I need to cut off what damage?
No, I would wait until mid-February.
Okay.
Mid-February, because you don't want to stimulate new growth.
This is for banana trees.
For banana trees or anything that gets damaged, your tropicals that get damaged, leave the damage on, because that's kind of insulating the plant from getting more damage. And when you prune your plants, and that this doesn't go for trees, but when you prune your plants, your tropicals, your ornamentals, then it's going to stimulate growth. And so it's going to start to put out new leaves.
Oh.
And then if it has new leaves, like, say in mid-February, and we get another frost, it could damage it enough to kill it.
Oh.
Okay? So leave the damage on. Just suck it up. And, you know, up north, they don't see sun and they don't see good weather for 6 months. So we can stand it for a month.
So, like, no pruning of anything right now here in Florida because of this polar vortex that's coming.
Now, if you want to groom, and that's one of the things I have down in what to do in January, is you want to groom your crepe myrtles, which means you don't hack them back. You take out the suckers. You can cut the buds off, the spent buds that are already died, the seed pods. You can cut those all off. You want to make sure it has good air circulation. But you can do that now. And if you cut your ornamental grasses back, you know, the fountain grasses and the ones that look really bad after this, you can do that now. But I kind of say leave them, because that dead, the feathery flowers that it has, is resources for wildlife.
Okay.
Okay? So you don't have to do that.
All right.
And so so that's a good thing. So not a lot to do this month, but the newsletter is coming out today.
Okay.
And you can go online and sign up for it. It's free. In your backyard, you go to www.she-consulting.com, she-consulting.com, and on the very front of my website is sign up for the free newsletter.
Yes.
And you can go ahead and do that. Now, I have to tell you, how much of a gardener am I? So we've been gone for a couple of weeks, and I always scroll through the text messages that are left from weeks that I haven't been there or the days we haven't been there. And I see this is not correct, because Tampa is 9-7 and Atlanta is 8-8. And what I thought, Lizzie, was, that's not right.
Start over again. We explain to the listeners who don't listen to Good Morning Orlando. So,
right.
Good Morning Orlando, we were talking about where Tampa was rated, okay?
Yeah, right. But I thought it was garden zones. And I'm going, no, Tampa is zone 10. Tampa's zone 10. And yes, Atlanta is 8. But my garden mind just went automatically to gardening.
Oh my gosh! Yes,
so but you were talking about
sports.
Football
scores. Yeah, we were talking about sports on Good Morning Orlando. So, but yes, I can see, because we ask our listeners whenever you text us the perfect text, especially those that are new listening. We need your first name. I don't care if you make up a first name, but try to remember it, because you know people change it all the time. But anyway, first name, your location. Now, that is important. And if you know your zone and you're 100% sure you know your zone, that's even better. But just say the city that you're in or live near, so Teresa can give you the proper knowledge of how to grow whatever you're requesting. And that's where Teresa was thinking, is that somebody said, oh, Tampa is in zone 8. And she's like, oh, no, it's not. So
they're going to be in trouble if they think that.
Yes.
But the football scores, yes, that's correct. So when working with new clients, especially with doing installations, design and installation work, the question always pops up, well, can we plant this time of the year? And yes, you can. This is a great time to be planting trees and woody shrubs that are evergreen. And so the cold really doesn't matter. Now, I wouldn't plant tropicals for the next couple of weeks. And in fact, I probably wouldn't plant tropicals for about 3 to 4 weeks. And that will give them, it'll be right time to plant them where we're not going to see major freezes. But you can lay sod. You can plant woody shrubs like camellias and podocarpus and all the woody ones you can plant. But if it is a tropical ornamental, then no, you just kind of want to wait because it's just going to be a little too cold.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've got a couple of like Christmas cactuses that I need to do something with, but I want to save. But they're still in their like original pots.
Yeah.
And then along with, I've got some little micro mini roses that you have on a porch and stuff.
Yes.
So I gotta figure out what to do with those. But
those are fine. The roses will handle the freeze fine.
Okay.
So don't worry about the roses. Now in the newsletter, I go through all the plants that need protection and this month, and that, you know, what are the hardiest palms and things like that. So really good information in the newsletter. Right. And so the good news about Florida and our cold weather, and this is just for newcomers, you know, information, you're new to Florida, welcome to Florida. We have cold temperatures that last only 3 days. 3 days of cold temperatures, and then it warms back up again.
If you're lucky, it lasts that long if you like cold weather.
Yes, if you like cold weather, I would like it to last a little bit longer. But then the cold temperatures disappear, and it's usually back to the 60s and 50s during the wintertime. So we are about 10 degrees below normal right now. But January is usually the month we see our first major freeze. Now, the good news is that we had a major freeze in December. And the very first week of December, we had major cold temperatures, freezing temperatures. And that kind of put the kind of edge on the plants. And they kind of went, whoa, got to thicken up here, got to toughen it out. And so they've already been through a freeze. So this one's not going to be as bad. But if you're in Tallahassee, sorry, Linda, you're going to be getting 20 degree temperatures. And it's going to depend on how long those low, below freezing temperatures last as to how much damage that you can do. So what can you be planting this time of the year? Well, you can be planting vegetables. You can be planting asparagus and beets and broccoli, Brussels sprouts and cabbage, carrots and cauliflower, celery and collards, endive and horseradish, kale and kohlrabi, lettuce and mustard, and onion sets. I was so proud of Lizzie planting her onions.
I am. I was so excited. Now I'm scared. I'm like, oh my gosh,
oh no, they're
going to die.
No, they're not. They're not going to die. Peas and potatoes, radicchio, radishes, roquette and rutabagas. I love rutabagas. Spinach and Swiss chard and turnips. And so you can be planting those. You can be planting your neeps and tatties. And that will be, they're not going to be affected by the cold weather at all. Now for flowers, this is where if you planted it in the springtime up north, you can plant it for the wintertime here in Florida. And so plants like alyssum and baby's breath, calendula, California poppies and cleomies, candy tuff and carnations, delphinium and dianthus, dusty miller and foxglove, gaillardias and geraniums, hollyhocks and an Iceland poppy, lobelias, which are beautiful, beautiful bluish purple, nasturtiums, ornamental cabbage and kale, pansies and petunias, Shasta daisies and status, stock and sweet peas. Now, if you plant summer vegetables, because there's going to still be available in the stores, they might get damaged by the cold temperatures. Your salvias and your butterfly garden plants should be okay. Your blue days is not. Your blue days is going to get damaged. So, again, in the newsletter, we have all of that for you. And also landscaping malpractice, how to know when to fire your landscaper. I started the year off on landscaper malpractice with a good thing. So if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. This is time for you. You can give us a call. I know you're all snuggled up in bed and under the blankets and just...
Your cell phone still works under the blankets. I'm just saying. You can text us.
236-8 0. And you can give us a call, 1-888-455-2967. And you can give us a call. Now, John Jacobs, he sent a letter, and he showed me a beautiful picture of some wonderful wild Bermuda grass. And he says, what can I do to kill this weed? And I will tell you that there is nothing that you can put down, an herbicide that you can put down, except for one that kills everything, like a Roundup product. Okay, that is the only thing. If it is in your lawn, you need to get rid of it. There's no way to do it. I mean, it's a very, very hard weed to get rid of. The roots go down very deep. So I would try and segment it off the area where you have it and kill it, and then dig up the grass and then go ahead and resod that area. It's one of those things that, let me give you some herbicides for that, though. You can use bio-advanced Bermuda control for lawns. You can also use Fusilid 2, which turf and ornamental works on Bermuda grass. Then also Fertilome, over-the-top grass killer. So there are several out there. Read the label. Follow the instructions. Make sure that Bermuda grass is listed on the label of any product you use. And then follow the label. And I would wait till after this freeze is done, because you want the plant, the weeds, the Bermuda grass to take up the chemical. And in the colder weather, it's going to be a little bit longer to do that. You may have to use two applications. But always follow the label. That's the important thing. Make sure it's listed for that plant. Winter color. I was just mentioning plants that you could plant for winter color, but let me tell you some other ones that are really nice to grow. And they are, you know, good because they're going to be able to handle the winter temperatures. And amaryllis are good. The calibrachoas will be able to handle a little bit of the cold temperatures, especially if you have them underneath your patio or right next close to the house. Then also hollyhocks. I mentioned that earlier. Nemesia, Shasta daisies, salvias are going to be good. Verbena and violas. Coral honeysuckle is a great vine. Trumpet vines will be able to handle the freezes. Your Christmas cactus should be okay in South Florida and parts of Central Florida. But if you're in North Florida, you definitely want to take it in. Your azaleas are going to be just fine. You don't need to cover them. Your roses are going to be just fine. You don't need to cover them. Your fire spikes, they will get a little damage, but they'll be okay too as well. Poinsettias are going to see damage if Central Florida to North Florida. Then also tabebuias will be fine. Your dogwoods are going to be fine. Your Meyer's lemon, your citrus, your lime, your kumquats, tangerines are going to be fine. And then also redbud. Your peaches and apples definitely need this cold weather.
Yeah, I was going to say, doesn't it make, is that just a myth that it makes the fruit sweeter if you get these freezes?
They need some chill hours.
Yeah.
You know, anywhere from, you know, 150 to 200 to 400 chill hours. Hmm. And that's for Florida. And there are some no chill apples out there. Yes, there are. You have to order them online. You can't find them usually in the local market areas.
My one grand rat, which is, I swear, my twin, and I call him 715, and he's 8. And so he was so excited. He ate an apple, and while we were out planting the onions and stuff, and he was eating an apple because he was on break, he calls it. It's a union break is what my husband calls it whenever. So he picks out the seeds. He's like, yeah. He's like, I want to plant these. I want to have an apple tree. And I'm like, well, go get one of those pots. Here's your soil. Just go ahead and then plant it in there. And so, and then I had put a little plastic to create like a garden effect over it. Because I knew we were having cooler weather. Not that that's going to affect it, but I want him to understand the gardening effect of, you know, the warm and put it on the porch and stuff. So.
Okay, well, that's good. It's good to start him off early. Does he like digging in the dirt?
This boy, let me tell you what, he loves it. He's our outdoor boy. Like, yeah. I mean, we force the other one. Yeah.
It's so good to see them off their phones.
Oh, they're not allowed to. They're not allowed to have their tablet at Yaya and Papa's house. They're not allowed to be on their phone. The only time that they are is if we are on like a long trip somewhere or something. But wow. I did that with my kids when phones became a thing. And my kids never fought it because I was like, you will spend time with the elders and people in front of you.
Yes.
So.
Yes, very good. I love that. So I just don't like to see children at the dining table. They should be talking about gardening.
Thank you.
So herbs that you can be planting right now. You can plant herbs, not a problem, even with the cold temperatures. Anise and bay laurel, cardamom and chives, coriander, fennel, garlic and ginger, lavender and mint, oregano, parsley, rosemary, sage and sweet marjoram, thyme and watercress. No basil. Basil is going to freeze, so you don't want to do that. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Cairo, Jordan, Christine, good morning. Thank you for your text message. Any tips on the best way to germinate Gloxinia seeds? I cannot find the plants anywhere. And yes, so you want to get the seeds and dry them out, okay? Dry them out. They don't need a cool or chilling period. And these are tropical plants. And so you can go ahead and dry the seeds and then replant them in the springtime for your blooms for the fall and winter time. So, yeah, very easy to germinate Gloxinia seeds. So, great. Let me know how you do. Take pictures. I'd love to see the pictures. And Linda in Zone 8B. Is there a miniature banana tree that can be grown and will produce in a pot? And if so, how small a manageable pot? Okay, so the dwarf bananas don't really reproduce very well in pots. But you can get a regular banana. And I would say if you got a pot that was about 15 to 20 gallons, size up about 3 feet tall, you can grow bananas in it. If it's Saturday morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's Top 5.
My top five for the new year is the best landscaping practices to start your new year goals in your landscape. 1, walk your yard at least once a week. Look at your plants, the tops, the bottom of the leaves, and the base. Make sure they're nice and healthy. Look for pest issues. 2, irrigate only when necessary, not because it's your day to water. Keep an eye on the moisture in the ground. 3, get a soil test before you fertilize. And do that every year because it changes or it reverts back to what it was. So you don't have to use the same fertilizer every year. 4, use integrated pest management. And that means using the least harmful practice first, which means you might just have to cut the insects off or put them into a bucket of water before using an actual chemical. And 5, replenish your mulch on a regular basis, that you have 3 to 4 inches of mulch at all times. That's my top five. They'll be posted on our website. You can check those out later. Thank you very much. Let's go to Jerry in Citrus County. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Oh, fine. That's Teresa. How are you?
I'm fine. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And I have a question on the pineapple guava. I had a couple of them from a nursery.
Uh-huh.
And they were about 5 feet tall and planted out in the open in the sun. And they seem to just stay where they are. They don't have much of a root system.
Okay.
To them.
Okay.
Nothing going on. You know, it just sort of looks at me.
All right.
About 4 foot high is a big ball of leaves and limbs, and that's about it.
All right. And so how long have they been in the ground?
About a year.
Okay.
They haven't grown.
You know? Right. And so how often do they get watered?
Well, maybe once a week, a couple of weeks or so.
Okay.
Depends on the weather, too, you know.
Okay, so do they have irrigation on them, or do you hand water them?
Hand water.
Okay. All right, because Citrus County usually doesn't have a lot of irrigation systems there in that county. And how often do you fertilize, Jerry?
A couple of times a year.
What do you use?
The outer edge.
What do you use?
Just a general fertilizer.
General fertilizer. Okay. So here's what I'd like you to do. Last year we had a really strong drought. Okay. So we did not have the water we needed from wintertime through the summer. We did not get the rainfall that we needed. So you want to make sure you water your pineapple guavas so that they get 5 to 10 gallons of water a week. Okay. And if you're hand watering it, this is what you do. You time how long it takes to fill a gallon jug up, and then you do that 10 times, you know, 10 times that time frame.
Yes.
And that way you'll know you're getting enough water. You may not be watering them enough, but last year they were really stressed out, and we did not get the rainfall on top of it. Then I'd like you to up your fertilizer to 3 times to 4 times a year. Every 3 to 4 months, put out a slow-release fertilizer for flowering plants, okay? And if you do that, I think you'll see some growing, more growing. The first year, you don't see a lot of growth. They're putting down root system. But I think if you watered them more, we really had a stressful year this year. So keep trying. They should do better next, or this 2025, they'll do better.
Should I plant them put around more compost or mulch or anything like that?
Well, they should be mulched anyway, okay? So, yes, you should mulch it, keeping it away from the trunk. But, you know, I would just make sure you're fertilizing. And if you wanted to add, you know, compost, you could, too. It's not a problem.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Okay.
But don't substitute the compost for the fertilizer. Do both.
Right.
Okay?
I will do.
Let me know how you do, Jerry. Thank you for being our first caller of the year. All right, let's go to Michael in Melbourne. Good morning, Michael. How can I help you?
Yes, good morning. I have a problem. I've got twins coming out of my avocado seed. They're late in starting. I found this seed, and I just put it in the ground, and the darn thing started.
Okay.
And the twins are about maybe 6 inches high. And they seem to be doing real well, maybe a 16th of an inch every day. I mean, they're growing real good.
Okay.
But I have to separate my twins, and I just don't know how to do it.
Okay, so are they in multiple balls, so to speak?
No, they're on one seed.
They're on one seed. Okay, so I want you to take a deep breath, okay? I want you to cut one of them off.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, and leave, and just do the largest one, the one that's the sturdiest, the one that's growing the straightest. You cut the other one off and let it be the tree that it wants to
be.
Can
you explain why you want the one to be cut off?
Okay, yeah, okay. I can explain. So it's going to, if you keep both of them, Michael, they're going to grow up so close together, they're going to be joined. Okay?
Oh, okay,
so they're going to grow together, and then you're going to have this split in the middle that's going to create a division in the trunk. And so let's go ahead and cut one off and keep the good one, and you'll have a nice straight avocado tree.
Choose wisely.
Okay, great. Let me ask you another quick question.
Sure.
I've got a banana tree that's got the stalk on it, and the bananas are out on the top of the stalk, and on the bottom of the stalk there's a great big purple
flower.
So what do I do with that now?
Okay, so how long are the bananas green, or are they turning yellow? What are they?
Oh, no, they're real green.
Okay. Yeah, just let it be for right now. You don't need to cut it off right now. Let the banana grow and get larger, and you can cut the hand, which is what that's called, the hand off. I would say probably mid-January, end of January, and then let them ripen off the tree. They will do that.
Well, I was talking to Lizzie about protection, and I don't need any for the cold, I guess, there, right?
Well, no, it's not going to harm the fruit, okay? But I'm just going to tell you this. The sad news is, Michael, is that once you take that banana fruit off of your bananas, the hand off, your banana tree is going to die.
Oh, no, it's huge. It's 10 feet tall.
Yeah, it's okay. Going to die. Once it fruits, okay. It dies, and then you're going to start getting other suckers up. And so it's a good thing that once they produce fruit, they decline, start to decline, and then new ones come up. So you're going to have
you,
three
ma'am.
To four.
Happy New Year to both.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. And let's go to Walter in Cocoa. Good morning, Walter.
Good morning, Teresa. Happy New Year to you. And I hope everyone there has a wonderful New Year 2025.
Anyway, thank you.
I called about my neighbor that had an avocado that blew over. And
yes.
I helped him stand it back up and then resupport the root structure around. And I went out and got him a cutting. And we were talking about grafting. Well, he took the graft to his sister's in a 5-gallon bucket full of water because he was just busy. And anyway, and the fact is, shortly thereafter, we got sprouts coming out of the existing big trunk.
Yes.
So now I'm running over there with a blanket and a ladder because all of those suckers, I don't want to get cold, so I'm covering that stuff up.
Okay.
I just thought I'd give you a heads up.
Thank you. That's so much. Make sure you're covering it down to the ground to keep that warmth in the inside of the covering.
Amen, sister. God bless you all.
Thank Take you, Walter. Care. Thank you. Happy New Year. All right.
That's good. I love the updates.
I do, too. So we're going to make sure that everyone, if they didn't hear all of the show, they can go to the podcast.
Yes.
They can hear that on iHeartRadio or wherever you hear.
BetterLawns.com. I'm getting them up right now as we speak, as we get done. And so also save your calls here till about 8:12. Give us a call around 8:12 and we'll start taking your calls again then.
1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Want to invite you on our new garden tour, which is going to the Newport Flower Show and historic Block Island. If you love the movie Downton Abbey and you love those palatial estates, well, Newport is where, her name just escaped me. I'm a Downton Abbey fan, and her name just escaped me. Her mother lives at Summers in Newport, and we have a wonderful tour this June. You can go on to my website on our In Your Backyard newsletter, mm-hmm. and also artandbloomgardentours.com,
yep.
and you can see the Newport
cost.
Flowers and,
yeah,
and the cost and everything, the itinerary, all the beautiful places we're going to go, and we're going to have a great time. So you can check that out, artandbloomgardentours.com.
Yeah, do it. If you're going to book it now, because she does do small groups to keep it nice and personal,
yes.
along with you need to get it now because they sell out fast.
They do. We're very blessed. So thank you to all our callers, our new callers, our first show for the first hour for the new year 2025. We're going to be back with more this Saturday morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.